All right, good morning, everybody. This morning, Daf is sponsored by OMO Construction. We appreciate the sponsorship and the Belmsers. And also this morning, a special sponsorship of the breakfast in the zchus of the woman who just had a baby, Thega Bas Edel, after a number of years of not having a baby. So it's a big simcha. Okay, we are on Chaf Vav Amud Beis. We're going to three lines up from the bottom. It's common thing on the question about how late do you have to daven Shacharis. Tfilas Shacharis, the Machlokas and the Mishnah, is it until Chatzos Hayom, so you have the whole morning, or is it until Dalet Shoas, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? And of course, we've just seen in the previous couple of lines that these Zmanim are supposed to correspond to the Korbanos. So the question is that the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar is like the Pasuk says, but Boker, what's the Boker? So it says Rabbi Yehuda holds only Ad Dalet Shoas. So here's the question the Gemara asks, Yibay Lahu. Ad Viad Bechlal, Awadelma Ad Velo Ad Bechlal. When Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only have until four Shoas, does that mean you get four full Shoas until the end of the fourth Shah? That would be what we would consider to be around 10 o'clock. Awadelma Ad Viad, that's ad v'lo, that's ad v'yad bichlal, which means until four and including the fourth. Or does he mean until the beginning of the fourth shah, which would mean only until around 9 o'clock, which would be only three full shahos of the day approximately. That approximately is what this question is asking. So Tashma, let's see if we can prove. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So we're going to just point out that Rabbi Yehuda actually had three shittos, and each one of them is expressed as ad something. Let's try to see. And presumably he'll be consistent in his usage of the word ad. And so let's take a look. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad plaga mincha. With respect to mincha, it says you either have until erev, the Tana Kama holds, or until Rabbi Yehuda says ad plaga mincha. So now we yamrit bishlama ad v'lo ad bichlal hayno dika bein Rabbi Yehuda lerabbanan. Plaga mincha is, we worked this out before, is, you know, the half of the interval between Mincha Ketana and Shkia. Mincha Ketana is 2.5 shaos before the end of the day. Half of that is going to be 1.25 shaos, which is half of the Mincha Ketana interval. So Plaga Mincha represents that time. So it's a little vague. I'll be talking about the moment that cuts Mincha Ketana in half, that moment, or are we talking about that entire chunk of time, which is half of the Plag Mincha, half of the Mincha Ketana interval? So the question over here is assuming that Mincha Ketana, that when it says Plaga Mincha, it means that chunk of time. So I was asking like this: Ad, if Iyam Ad Veloa Bichlal, if Rabbi Yehuda's usage of Ad is not including the interval of the terminus interval. So then, Haina Diyaka Bein Revi LeRabbanan, which means that you have until the afternoon, until 1.25 hours before the end of the day, which would be the beginning of the chunk of time that starts with the Plaga Mincha that we say. Ela Yamet Ad Bichlal. But if your Yehuda's usage of Ad is to include the terminus condition, then it means like this: until Plaga Mincha, which includes Plaga Mincha, which includes the entire interval of time that Plaga Mincha kind of refers to, which is the end of the day, which just is another way of saying until the end of the day. So then Rabbi Yehuda Haini Rabbanan, that we're on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda's usage of Ad, Plaga Mincha, can only mean Ad below Ad Bechlau. Okay? It has to end before the condition of the Ad. So the problem is Elamai. So hold on a second. So let's see if we can keep this going. Ad v'lo ad bichlal? Is that really Rabbi Yehuda's usage of ad? Aim a seifa. But let's look at the seifa. There's a little bit of a girsa question over here because our Mishnah has a girsa question, whether it has this line in it. Our Mishnah puts the line that we're about to quote in parentheses. And so we're either quoting this line from the Mishnah or we're quoting this line from a braisa, which has this line. One way or the other, Rabbi Yehuda is on record saying the following. Vishal musafin Kol Hayom, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shevashos. Musaf is another machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim holds that Musaf is all day long. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not no. Only ad sheva shos. Ad sheva shos. Now remember, sheva shos, the seventh hour of the day, the seventh hour of the day is the hour that begins at chatzos and goes until the end of hour number seven. So ad sheva shos is the way Rabbi Yehuda phrases his end of this man Musaf. Which means that if Rabbi Huda is saying ad sheva shaos, but not including the seventh sha'ah, that's another way of saying it's ad chatzos for Musaf. You only get till chatzos according to this way of reading Rabbi Huda. But the problem is, with Tanya, we have a braisa that says the following. Let's say the person is facing, I have to daven two shemana esrei, zachas shel Musaf and yachas shel mincha. One Musaf and one mincha. And I have the choice, and I can say one or the other right now. So the policy is, notwithstanding the fact that the normal sequence of a regular Shabbos or a Shchodesh or whatever is, I say Shacharis, then Musaf, then Mincha. That's my normal routine. But let's say it's now, you know, I'm facing the possibility of Mincha and Musaf. So it says here, Mispal Shel Mincha, V'yachigach Shel Musaf. The proper way to handle both these Shemoneh Esreis is you first say Mincha, then you say Musaf. Why? Shazu Tadira. Vizu ain't a Tadira. Because if I have two things to do, and I could essentially do either one first, then which one do I choose? What's the proper way to establish priority? So we have one of the policies is, tadir v'sheinat tadir, tadir kodim. If I do something more frequently, I do something less frequently, then the one that I do more frequently is the one that I do first. That's the policy. So if that's the case, so the mincha I do every day. And so I'll do that first. That's Tanakam. Reb Yehuda Omer, Mispala Shel Musaf Yachgach Shel Mincha, Shezo Veres, Vezu Eino Veres. Reb Yehuda says, no, the strategy is actually not to do the Mincha first, it's Musaf first, because you're about to run out of time for Musaf, and you have plenty more time for Mincha. But I don't care about that aspect of Reb Yehuda. What we care about is the fact that Reb Yehuda acknowledges the possibility of this conflict, meaning the possibility that I'll actually be facing Mincha and Musaf at the same time. How is that possible? We can only start Mincha, everybody knows. You can only start Mincha in the afternoon. Mincha Gedolah, even after Chatzos. So if you're going to tell me that Musaf ends ad Sheva Shos, at Chatzos, so then I'm never going to face this conflict of Musaf and Mincha at the same time. Musaf ends before Mincha starts. Once Mincha comes, Musaf has already been over. So it must be, the only way this is possible, now it happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda told you that the way you're going to handle it is Musaf first because you're about to run out of time, but the point simply is that obviously that's assuming that that's happening in the afternoon. So his usage of the word ad sheva sha'os must mean ad and including sheva sha'os. And once that's the usage of ad, then that must, presumably, if he's consistent, carry across to all the other zamanim that he uses. The Gemara says, well, then you had run into the other problem. Elamai ad. Ad v'chalal. You're going to include, does Rabbi Yehuda use the word ad to include the terminus condition? Kasha reisha. Then you have the problem with mincha. Because then his ad plaga mincha is going to really mean ad Shkia. So the Gemara says, Ma Yikabein Rabbi Huda la Rabbanan. It's the same, that's the problem. It's a long way of saying, you know, which way is it?
An hour between Plag and Shkia?
Yeah, an hour and a quarter. But that's an hour and a quarter Zmanis. It's a variable hour and a quarter. It could be less than that in the winter, more than that in the summer. And all of that is on the assumption that you're measuring your Shaos from Nates to Shkia, from sunrise to sunset, which is the that's the mainstream view. Notwithstanding the fact that a lot of Sfarim talk about it from a Los Tzeis. So here's the Gemara. The Gemara answer is the following. It says, Misavret dehai plag mincha plag achrona koamar, plag rishona koamar. No, so the problem is only because we had assumed that plag a mincha is the last hour and a quarter of the day as a chunk of time. But no, we're going to assume that it's the first half of the Mincha Ketana period, which means that chunk of time starts at Mincha Ketana 2.5 hours before Shkia, and then it goes for an hour and a quarter, and that's the plug that he's referring to, and the end of that interval, which is what we all know as the moment of plug. When we look up plug, we look at and we find it as a moment of time. That moment of time represents this, what he's referring to right over here. It's this moment at the end of the first half of the Mincha Ketana chunk before the last half of the Mincha Ketana chunk. And so it's just that moment of plug of Mincha, like we know. V'achi kamar, emes nafik plug rishona v'ayil plug achrona. When does the first half of the Mincha Ketana chunk end and the last bit of the day begin? Mikinafki yiral shos chasurviya. That's 10 3/4 hours into the day, 1 1/4 shows before the end of the day, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is now consistent, and it comes up to be like this. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, in all of these cases, ad, and including the terminus condition. So for Shacharis, that means until 4 shows, including the 4th shah, which means that we would call around 10 o'clock. And for Mincha, it's until Plaga Mincha, the moment of Plaga Mincha, like we would look up on our calendars. And for most of it, it's until 7 shaos, which means 1 shah after Chatzos Hayom. You get 1 shah after Chatzos, that would be around 1 o'clock or so in our system. Amar Rav Nachman, Afan Anami Tanina. So Rav Nachman, the Amora, says that we actually have a Mishnah that says very clearly that that is the case. Now, this Mishnah we're going to read is not talking about tefillos, talking about karbanos, but that's obviously the point. The point is that we're trying to correspond to the karbanos. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Hayid, Chamisha Dvarim. Where is this Mishnah? It says on the side, it's in Adios. So Adios is a Masechta that collects all kinds of statements of Tanoim where they convey traditions that they have had, that there is some confidence that these traditions are authentic and authoritative. And so Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Hayid, Chamisha Dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the Tana, says he can be made, he can tell you about traditions that he had on 5 matters. Mimanin is a katana. So the first one, Rashi gives you a long explanation over here what this thing is all about. It's about 2 sisters, one of them is like 10 years old, married to 2 brothers, and the one who's the 10-year-old sister who's married to one of the guys got married as a 10-year-old without the father being involved. And so when the father is involved, that kiddushin is 100% valid d'oraisa. When there's no father involved, then all you get is a kiddushin d'rabbanan that the chazal instituted as a social necessity. We don't really have that social necessity, obviously, in our world. But that the point being that she was married only under conditions where it's dissolved not by a divorce, but by a miyun declaration. You just have to decide you had enough and you don't want to be married anymore, and then that's enough to dissolve that peculiar marriage state. And so it says over here, what happens if, let's say, the sister of this girl, her husband dies. The husband dies without children. So the sister now has a yibum mitzvah with the husband of the kid. And so, because of all of the complications of what the obligations theoretically would be, and disregarding any of the feelings of any of the people involved, then we end up with a situation where the proper course of action would be that we advise the 10-year-old to just duck out of the marriage altogether, and that will enable the yibum to proceed between her erstwhile husband and the sister of the 10-year-old. So that was something that they considered to be important enough. So that's why the first thing that he was saying was that. The second thing that he was saying is Messianus Ishal Pi Eid Echad, is that if a woman's husband goes missing and disappears, and therefore she's an aguna, and one aide comes and says, you know, I was there and I saw the person is dead, and I'm sorry for your loss, but the point is that she can now, she has half information. She doesn't have enough information to act upon, because something like this, you would need 2 aidim to establish for certainty that she is now a widow rather than a married woman. But the Chazal said, no, Messina Saisha Alpi Eid Echad. 1 aid is sufficient for these purposes to allow her to go ahead and marry. And, you know, we are not getting to this. It's in Yivamos. And so in any case, the third thing is the Tarnagol Sheniskal Yerushalayim, telling us that there is a din in the Chumash. It says that if you have a shor on it, shor, shaharages ha'adam, you have a shor that kills a person, that shor is chayiv misa. So what kind of an animal are we talking about? So in theory, the Chumash just says shor as an example, but we all know enough to know that it doesn't have to be a shor, it could also be a dog, it could also be a snake, it could also be whatever any kind of animal. But this Mishnah is saying, yeah, and it can also even be a tarnagol. It can even be like a rooster. Because the rooster, there was a case once where a rooster killed a person, and they had to follow all the procedures and put the tarnagol to death as a shor and iskal. Not so clear exactly what the whole point is, but anyway, this is what it's saying. And of course, what was the person who was killed? It was like a little baby was killed by this rooster that killed it. All right, not to be fierce or anything, just whatever. Anyway, that's so t saying that the notion that a shor and iskal can even be a tarnagol. And I'll show you guys. And then al yayin ben arba'im yom shenisna sechel gam yemizbeach. Also to say that wine, meaning grape juice, ben arba'im yom shenisna sechel gam yemizbeach, that the wine after 40 days of fermentation is sufficient to be used now to be kosher gam yemizbeach, but beforehand no. Beforehand, it's too juicy. It's too much like grape juice. And grape juice, you can't use al mizbeach, even though you can use grape juice. It says beferish you can use grape juice for kiddush. So to a certain extent, the ritual use of yayin of grape juice for kiddush is different from the mizbeach. So for the mizbeach, it has to be yayin. It has to be nefesh shechar. It says in the pasuk, as opposed to for kiddush, it just has to be yayin. Yayin. And yayin includes grape juice. So it says here that that even 40 days of, I guess, fermentation would be enough. I don't know the Metzias enough to know about what the alcohol content would be after 40 days of fermentation. I don't know. The al tamid shel shachar shekarv. None of those things relate to us. They just happen to be part of the same Mishnah. The al tamid shel shachar shekarv v'yarbasha os. And also reporting that the tamid shel shachar was offered v'yarbasha os. V'yarbasha os presumably meaning only until 4 sha'os, and presumably the 4 sha'os being including the 4th sha'ah. Shema mina ad v'yad v'chlal shema mina. Karav v'yarba sha'os meaning that it was offered during the 4th sha'ah. The 4th sha'ah includes obviously the terminus must be the end of that sha'ah, and so this proves it. Shema mina. The Gemara says that's a conclusive proof. So anyway, we knew that would be conclusive for consistency purposes. And Amar Rav Kahana, now Rav Kahana the Amora says the following. Well, we know that the Mishnah had this machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about shachris. What? How late can you daven shachris? So Rav Kahana says halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ho'al utanan bebechirta kivasei. That Rav Kahana said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim, against the Tanakhama and the Mishnah, ho'al utanan bebechirta kivasei. Because this Mishnah here in Adios, that's the Masechta Adios goes by the nickname Bechirta in Gemaras all over the place. And since it says in Masechta Adios, Kevasei, like Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, so we're going to consider that to be final. And that's the Psak. And that's what it says, is that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita about Sof Zman Tefillah is what it always can say in all the Luach Zamanim, is that 4 sha'os of the day. There's a whole question. Later on, you get to see about how the possibility that B'diyevid, now it's if it's the 5th sha'ah and you didn't say your tefillos, then now what do? Does it pay to daven? So we hold, yeah, of course you daven until chatzos. The only question that the Rishonim had was, is that like tashlumin, or is that just because we're relying on the other shita that the Gemara explicitly rejects? See, usually we can't do that. Usually, if the Gemara has a machlokas, okay, so then we pass on like one side, the other side. You can rely on the other side, usually, if it's a shas or something. But now, when the Gemara does an explicit psak, like it seems to be doing over here, so it's all question to be shown about what to do after Dalit shows. Anyway, so that's the two dots. Okay, the next thing. Now the Gemara actually tries to analyze a little bit this. That Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda Shita about 4 sha'os. And it goes into an agadata. It's a little funny, but anyway, let's hear. It's what it says. It's talking about the fact that the man in the Midbar fell every day, every morning. There was a coating of tal and then a coating of man, whatever that is. And it says people would gather it, you know, every morning until it would melt and dissolve and disintegrate. So what time did that happen? How much time did they have in the morning to gather man? That's what this Gemara is dealing with. Man Tana lehadis nan. Who is the Tana who could have said the following? This nan, like it says in a thing. This thing, I think, it looks like it's not really a Mishnah, even though this nan. V'cham Hashemesh v'namas. V'cham Hashemesh v'namas. The sun would heat up in the late morning. V'namas, and the man would disintegrate, would melt and dissolve. That's be'arba sha'os. That would happen be'arba sha'os, after four sha'os. Well, be'arba sha'os, be'arba sha'os. What's be'arba sha'os? At the moment of the fourth sha'ah. Atomer be'arba sha'os, wein ha'ela b'shei sha'os. Why do I think it's that, what's happening then? Why do I think it's happening at the beginning of the fourth sha'ah? Kishu'amer. Maybe it's later on, earlier, whatever. Like it says, why? Because Kishu Amer Kechom Hayom, when it says that Avram Avinu was sitting there Kechom Hayom in the heat of the day, that's a reference to the day being hot. Hare Shesha Osamur. So you have to distinguish between Chom Hayom and Cham HaShemesh, the day being hot and the sun being hot. So if it said Chom Hayom, that would mean Chatzos. Hamani Mekayim Becham HaShemesh V'Namas. Be'arba sha'os. So what does it mean when the pasuk says that it would already start melting at the Cham HaShemesh, when the sun is hot? Rashi makes the point, and this is what the Gemara later is going to say also, it has to do with the distinction between when you're in the sun versus in the shade. If it's really, really hot day, even the shade is going to be hot. That's when Chatzos HaYom, the middle. But if it's like the morning, so there's a difference. It feels cool in the shade, but even if it feels hot in the sun. So that's the distinction being made over here. And it says here, so now Mani. So who could say that cutoff time of the end of the third Sha'ah, beginning of the fourth Sha'ah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. It's neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbanan. Now, of course, they're playing on the fact that the Pasuk describes that this would happen b'boker. And the question is, how late can boker be considered to be still, well, boker? So, I Rabbi Yehuda ad arba sha'os namit zafra. So we're assuming that the point of that brisa was the beginning of the fourth sha'ah, which means after three sha'os. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's another sha'ah for the tamid shel shachar, and therefore for the tefilos, and therefore for the boker, presumably. I Rabbanan achatzos. And if the Rabbanan would even say, even wait until chatzos, namit zafra hu, is also still morning. The Gemara gives two answers. It could be, come on, these don't relate. The Yamrit, Ibai Seima, Rabbi Yehuda, Ibai Seima Rabbanan. Well, we could explain it for Rabbi Yehuda or for Rabbanan. Ibai Seima Rabbanan, Amar Krabba Boker Baboker. The Pasuk, if you read it carefully, it doesn't just say that they collected the man Baboker. It says they collected the man Baboker Baboker. Now, we would read the words and look at the Baboker Baboker when we say, okay, that means every morning. Baboker Baboker, every Boker. But the Gemara here is saying, no, not necessarily. It means the morning of the morning, that kind of a thing, which means like the early morning. So, Chalkei Lishnei Bakarim. No, it means it's the first half of the morning. The morning goes all the way until Chatzos for six shows. So they would only have the morning part of the morning, the first half of it, which means only three shows. So that could have made sense. V'yiboy Seimer Reb Yehuda. Hi, Boker, Yisei Relakdim Lo Shachas. Reb Yehuda also, same kind of a concept, that really the boker goes an extra sha'ah, but this was the early part of the morning, and even a sha'ah earlier. All right. Anyway, the Gemara says, the Kuli Alma, which means that we thought that we would have gotten somewhere with this man issue, or we're seeing over here, not necessarily, because the man thing is a separate issue. The Kuli Alma, Mia v'cham HaShemesh v'namas v'arba sha'os, my mashma. But everybody seems to be agreeing that what the Pasuk is describing, the condition is v'cham HaShemesh is after three sha'os. Where do you see that in the Pasuk? Amar Rebbe Acha. So Rashi knew this Gemara, so Rashi saved you some time if you were initially confused and he just told you this. But the Gemara here goes through it. Amar Kra v'cham HaShemesh v'namas. Rabbi Acha Rabbi Yaakov says, well, the Pasuk says that the sun got hot. Ezi shash HaShemesh cham v'hatzel tzonein. When is the sun hot but the shade is still cold? Have yomer b'yarba sha'os. All right, two dots. Tfilas ha'mincha ada erev. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say that Mincha, you have a machlokes hatanoim here. Tanakama holds out of Erev, which means Shkia. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, only until Plag. Now we work that out, what that machlokas is. So the difference between the shkia and the plag shita is an hour and a quarter, a shah v'reva. A shah v'reva. That's the regular calculation. Amalei Rav Chisda le Rav Yitzchak. Rav Chisda the Amora, Rav Chisda says to Rav Yitzchak, Ha'asam Amar Rav Kahana lacha k'Rav Yehuda ho'al utanan v'bechirta k'vasei. Ha'cha amai. So now this Amora Rav Chisda is asking Rav Yitzchak, you know, 2 lines ago, or 5 lines ago, or at least in their world it was, you know, we all know that Rav Kahana paskined that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim on the matter of Shachris. On the matter of Shachris. What did we say about Rabbi Yehuda Shita on the matter of Mincha? So it's an interesting question because he's obviously assuming that these are independent issues. So you could paskin like one with respect to Shachris and like the other one with respect to Mincha, and that's not inconsistent. Now you could have learned, I don't know how much we talked about this in the past, I don't know what the rabbi did, but the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'chachamim over here is never really explained that well in the Gemara. And some Rishonim made it seem as if it's one question. The question of, if it's supposed to correspond to the korbanos, what is the halacha with respect to the korbanos? Do the korbanos, you know, so that's the concept. Presumably that is the concept. That's certainly what we saw with respect to the Shacharis machlokas. So the question really is, well, hold on a minute. Are we really having a machlokas about the Zmania Korbanos, the Boker? It could be, but it could also be a different thing, which is that everybody perhaps agrees that the halachos of the eligibility of the Korban match the Chachamim Shita. And therefore, when they're masaking tefillos, they say, you can daven your tefillah, shacharis, musa, mincha, whatever, at any time you could have offered this korban, shacharis or musa for mincha. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the point. The point is that it doesn't matter what they theoretically could have done. It's when they ever actually did bring these korbanos. It's when they were really brought, not when it was theoretically possible to bring. So if you learn it that way, then this gemara doesn't work because then it's one question. It's the question of are they misakin tefillos keneged the reality or keneged the eligibility? And so from this Gemara, it looks like, no, these are separable issues. So it looks like they're having some other machlokas, possibly the Raisa about the Zmanim of the Korbanos, and possibly the Rabbana only with respect to the tefillos. In any case, the question still here is being asked for Mincha. What's the Zman of Mincha? In other words, how late do you have and when do you have to stop Mincha? And although it doesn't say it, I'll just point out that it's very clear from the Hemshech of the Gemara is that Mariv also depends upon this question. Because whenever Mincha ends, Mariv starts. It doesn't have a separate Zman. It just follows from the end of Mincha. So the question over here that's being asked is really the question of when is the threshold between Mincha and Mariv? Sof Zman Mincha and Tchila Zman Mariv. So anyway... That's what he asked him. He asked him, so does that psak halacha of Rabbi Yehuda carry through to Mincha also? Achamai, ishtik, velomerle velomidi. He didn't respond. He didn't know. He didn't respond. He couldn't speak to Rav Kahana, and he didn't on his own necessarily know if it should have to go together. Samar Rav Chista nefzi anan, midir Rav. Well, let's try to figure out on our own what the psak should be based on other information that we have. And one bit of information that we have is, and we're going to explore this a lot on Amud Beis, if we get there, that Rav is the Amora, first generation of Rav, who moved out to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. And it says here that Rav matzli shel Shabbos b'yerev Shabbos. Rav would do like what we do on summer. He would have a summer schedule. He would daven Mariv night, Mariv of Shabbos, Friday night Mariv, b'yerev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon. It's like what we do. Mi ba'od yom. So anyway, the fact that he was doing this, obviously, Shema Amin HaLachka Rabbi Yehuda. So obviously, he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, presumably, we're going to paskin like him. Generally speaking, whenever Rav says something about a matter of Isra V'Heter, he wins, and we follow his policies. So Rav presumably establishes this policy. Shema Amin HaLachka Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what Rav Chisda said. The Gemara says, hold on, not so fast. Adarabba, mida Rav Huna, v'rabbanan, lo havu matzliat urta, shma mina ein alecha k'Rabbi Huda. Not so fast. But we also know that Rav Huna and Rabbanan would not daven marverly. They followed the yeshiva schedule in the summer, and they only daven bizman, like in Israel. So shma mina ein alecha k'Rabbi Huda. So what do you do? Well, I guess you can't really do it that way, because you have conflicting precedents. So now, listen to the Gemara. This is one of the most extraordinary lines of Gemara in terms of methodology, and in terms of the Psag, in terms of policy, and in terms of all kinds of ways of thinking about the implications of this next line. Here's what it says. Well, since we've given the matter due deliberation of one line of discussion, and we have reason to follow either one or the other side on this matter, and we don't have anything clear that's going to necessarily compel one side or the other. Hashta, the lo itmar hilchasa, lo kamar velo kamar. Now that the halacha is lo itamar, it's not said, it's not established according to either Rabbi Huda or the Rabbanan. Therefore, we issue the following matter of practice. The avad kamar avad. In Hebrew, that would mean Misha oseh kemo hatana hazeh. Ozeh, with the Avad Kamar Avad. And Misha Asakeh, Isha Asakeh, Tana Azeh, Asa. And somebody who follows Rabbi Huda, that's fine. And somebody who follows Rabbanan, that is fine. The end. That is the end of this whole analysis of the question of the Zman Mincha. That's unbelievable. Is that really how it goes? Is that what you're supposed to do in matters of halacha like this? So the truth is, that even though that machlokas perhaps was about a d'oraisa, but as it relates to us for tefillah, it's only going to be maximum d'rabbanan. And as a d'rabbanan issue, we have a question in din. When you have a question in din on a matter of d'rabbanan, we ought to be guided by the question of sveika d'rabbanan l'kula, that you should follow lakel. But there is no kula in this question. The question relates to mincha, and it relates to marav, and it relates to a bunch of other related questions. So that relate to the Sofa Yom and all kinds of miscellaneous other issues that seem to be woven into this machlokas. So you have no kula and chumra that you could establish over here and say, well, we're going to go look kula. And therefore, when there is no kula, we're being told over here, so you can choose. So you can choose. And this unleashes a whole storm of a question of how loosely is this Gemara telling you can conduct yourself? You can choose any minute to minute, you can choose day to day, you can choose any time you want. You can always just say, well, let me see, I guess according to one of the opinions, it works in my favor to call it Laila. According to the other opinion, it works in my favor to call it Yom. Is it really that loose? Or, and others take an opposite extreme, they say, no, this is a question of psak. Do you pass like Rabbi Huda or Rabbanan? And instead of telling you have to paskin like Rabbi Huda, or you have to paskin like Rabbanan, I'm just going to tell you, you can make up your mind to paskin like whichever one you want to. But the point is that you've paskined that way for all purposes. So there are two extreme versions, two opposite extreme versions about what this rule is saying. And then usually what happens is that people fall in the middle, and that we assume that you can kind of choose one or the other. And to a certain extent, you should try to avoid patently inconsistent policies. Now, how that looks will depend upon who you ask. And so this shul has over the years kind of moved from its approach to from being a 7 o'clock summer schedule policy fixed, which takes the view that I can daven mincha after plag and Marv before Shkia, in that same chunk of time whose status is unclear. So some Sfarim are okay with that. Some Sfarim are okay with that only on Friday night, when you can be Mekabel Shabbos in between, so as to justify a resetting of the policy. And others think that that's totally inappropriate, and that's not authorized by this Gemara over here. And so as an alternative, this shul has moved into a different policy of early Shabbos hovering around plag. If you're hovering around plag for early Shabbos, that means that you're following the Rabbi Huda's shita, when that's convenient, and there are the other times of the year you follow the Shkia threshold. So you're either choosing the one or the other, and you don't have to be consistent, over the entire year or your whole lifetime. It's just at least for the same day. Anyway, there's a lot to say about this whole question, but this is an astounding psak. That's what the Gemara says, and that's what we hold, is that you have the choice. All right, let's move on. Now, that other issue about Rav following a summer schedule of davening early, he did early Shabbos. So Rav, ikla lebe gneva, Rav once was visiting Gneva's house, and presumably that was something notable or significant. I don't really know what to do with it. And it said, Vitzali shall Shabbos be Erev Shabbos. So he was doing like what he used to do. He would do early Shabbos. And he daven shall Shabbos, Marav Friday night, Erev Shabbos. V'hava matzli Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba liachorei d'Rav. Now it happened to have been that I guess they were in this guy's living room. And Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was standing right behind Rav. And the people around were paying a lot of attention to Rav's activities. The Siyam Rav, and they saw Rav finished his Shemona Esrei, and he looked behind him. The lo paskei litzluse the Rabbi Yirmiyah, but he didn't take his steps back to where Rabbi Yirmiyah was standing. Anyway, that's the end of the story. Shema minat las. Wow, you can see three matters of halacha from this anecdote, from this event as it's described. One, Shema mina mispala l'adam shel Shabbos b'Erev Shabbos. One is that you can do that. You can have an early Shabbos. You can do Maariv on Friday night and daven early like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Shema Minah, Mispalel, Talmid, Acharei Rabbo. The second thing that you're saying is that Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was a Talmid of Rav's, was davening behind him. So you see that that's allowed. We're going to get into that soon. The Shema Minah, Asr Lavar, can I get a Mispalelim? And the third thing that you see is you're not allowed to take steps back if somebody behind you is saying Shema Asrei. So let's see. This story seems to support the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, as to whether Rav's activities are actually a support for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statements, I don't know. They were contemporaries, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is generally considered more authoritative than Rav. So it's a little funny that the Gemara thinks that it's able to do this. Normally, when the Gemara does one of these things, what it's doing is it does a Mishnah or a Braisa as a Tana supporting a statement of an Amora. That's normally what the Gemara does when it says Misayayale. In this case, it's Rav, on the assumption that Rav once in a while is a transitional Tana, supporting a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is also a transitional Tana, so it's a little bit funny. Anyway, Dem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur la'avor k'neged ha'mispalalim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi walk past somebody who's saying Shemona Esrei. So, Vihara, wait a minute. So that's what it says. So this seems to be a support of that. So it looks like Rav and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying the same thing. The Gemara says, "Hold on a second. Hold on. A second. That can't be true." Vaharava, Rebbe Ami, veRebbe Asi, Chalfi. But don't we know that Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi used to have to do that sometimes and walk past the space of somebody davening Shemoneh Esrei? The Gemara says, "No, Rebbe Ami, Rebbe Asi, Chutzli Arba Amos Chalfi." No, they wouldn't do it so close to the person. They would do it farther away. They would walk in front. They would make sure to give some space to the person saying the Shemoneh Esrei, and they would walk kind of in front, but more than Dalet Amos or so. So let's pause there for a second. What in the world is the rule? You're not allowed to walk past somebody saying Shemoneh Esrei. Well, presumably the point is, this is a little bit unclear. The Rishonim have a whole debate about what this is all about. Is this because it's distracting to the person, and that's the reason why you can't walk in front of somebody saying Shemona Esrei? If that's the case, so then it's like a judgment call about whether the person can detect you or your movement in front of them. Or is it a different thing? It's like the Shekhinah is there, and the Shekhinah is occupying the space in front of the person, and it's considered to be inappropriate to walk into the space there where the Shekhinah is. No question about this, lahalacha, and how you're supposed to apply this, and what you're supposed to really do in real cases. And so, okay, in any case, it's something worth looking into. Question about in front or the sides or behind. So now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yirmiya, Eich Yavrachi. The question the Gemara asks is, how did Rabbi Yirmiya daven behind Rav? After all, our Shmamina is that you're allowed to do this. But hold on a second, it's not true. V'ha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. But we know that Rav himself is on record as saying the following policies. He says, Liolam al yispalel adam, lo keneged rabo. We're on now Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Lo keneged rabo, v'lo achorei rabo. But Rav himself, at least according to Rav Yehuda, Rav is saying, you're not allowed to daven behind your Rebbe, lo achorei rabo, lo keneged rabo, not right next to your Rebbe. Presumably that has to do with the fact that it's like a gaiva or something. Rashi Yatosa have a comment about why not behind? Why not next to, presumably? That's because it makes it seem as if you're feeling like you're on par with your Rebbe. So that's inappropriate. Behind the Rebbe, what could be bad about that? So Rashi Yatosa have a question. But anyway, the issue here is that Rav himself says you're not allowed to do that. And 1 second ago we said that Rabbi Yirmiya of Rabba was the Talmud of Rav and presumably would follow his shitos. And there he was, davening behind him at that time in Geneva's house. The Gemara answers, oh, Vitanya, and to strengthen it, we even have a brisa that confirms this. Vitanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now, this Rabbi Eliezer gives us a number of instructions about proper conduct between Rebbes and Talmuds. So he says, Hamispalel achorei rabo, v'hanosin shalom l'rabo, and possibly, we'll put in parentheses, a mafzir shalom l'rabo, and a cholek al yeshiva soshel rabo, the omer davar shel shamim mipi rabo. You do any of these things, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that these things are taken as whether intentional or inadvertent, but they cause a lot of damage. Gorin l'shchina shetista lake miYisrael. What are all these things? If you say your Shemona Esrei behind your Rebbe, if you greet your Rebbe, that's the question. The question is, huh? What's so bad about greeting your Rebbe? That sounds like it's an appropriate thing to be doing. So different opinions here about whether that means, no, if you greet your Rebbe as like Shalom Aleichem, without the appropriate honorific, without appropriate saying Rebbe. If you say Rebbe, so then maybe that's better. Others say, no, it means you're not allowed to be the greeter of your Rebbe at all, because that's too much familiarity. You're supposed to have more awe of your Rebbe to be able to greet him. But then if that's the interpretation, then the next line doesn't make sense. If you return the greeting to the Rebbe, that's inappropriate. So that can only, if that exists, there's El Gerson question here, but if that exists as a rule, then it can only mean without also the formality of saying Rebbe. If you just say, Aleichem Shalom, so you have to make sure you say with Rebbe. Anyway, Acholak El Shivaso Shel Rabbo, if you issue a ruling that goes against the Rebbe's Shitos or the Rebbe's Yeshiva's Shitos, presumably they're also following his Shitos, even if you didn't hear it, or HaOmer Davar Shel Oshami Mipi Rabbo, or if you issue a statement that you really did not hear from your Rebbe, that's your own statement. So different opinions over here. Does that mean because, and you quoted your Rebbe, or just he said it at all? Anyway, these are all things that make a lot of damage. So one of them was davening behind your Rebbe. So that's the question. So my answer is, Shiny Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, the Talmud Chaver Hava. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba was not just a Talmud. He was a Talmud Chaver, which means that he eventually gained enough stature to be considered to be a colleague of Rav. So at that point already, he didn't have to follow all of those rules. Oddly enough, even though he was a Talmud of his. It's interesting. Okay, now, and we're going to show that Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba would take informalities with Rav because, and this is what it says, because when he was speaking to Rav that one time, he said to him, and this is a direct quote, he said to him, Mi Badilas, or Mi Badlas, or Mi Badelas.
Mi Badelet is who's at the door.
Mi Badelet is Hebrew. This, as they were speaking regular, colloquial Aramaic, is, he said to him, did you desist? Did you desist? Meaning, did you cease from doing malacha? Which means, he's referring to that time, or that time that he was speaking to him right after his Marv of Friday night, And he said to him, well, you daven Maariv now. Does that mean that you have to stop doing Malacha and that you are now in Shabbos? So he's asking him, what are the consequences of davening Maariv early on a Friday afternoon? Does that mean you're in Shabbos now? And so that's an important question and discussion that we're going to bring up in a minute. But for our purposes, we just want to notice that he said so in this very familiar way, which is, he just asked him, did you start Shabbos? He didn't say, Rebbe. You know, like he didn't say anything like that way. And so he didn't say, Velo Amarle. He said, Mi Badlis or Mi Bdilis. And he didn't say, Rebbe. Okay, so you see that he was Tamachavar. Anyway, on that question about what are the implications of early Shabbos, Amarle in Bedilna. Rav said, yeah, by davening early Shabbos, this is the way you have to read the Gemara. Yes, by davening early Shabbos, that is an implicit acceptance of Shabbos. So this Gemara is working on the assumption that if you explicitly accept Shabbos, you're now in Shabbos, or if you implicitly accept Shabbos, you're in Shabbos. Now we have that practice, incidentally, for women who light candles, that they have an implicit acceptance of Shabbos in the course of their hadlakas neiros. But that is a questionable one. That's a questionable one. But the Gemara over here is saying this as an absolute one because Maariv is different, is more of an acceptance of Shabbos than just candle lighting. Because when you say Maariv, you're actually using the words of Mekadesh Shabbos, unlike Neiros Shabbos, which is Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, which is a whole different concept, because Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos is something that you can't do on Shabbos. You can only do it before Shabbos. But Mekadesh HaShabbos is Kiddush of Shabbos. Presumably, that means you're doing that on Shabbos, and therefore it's taken as an implicit Kabbalah Shabbos, Baal Korcho. So that's what he answered him. He said, yeah, in Bedilna. Yep, by davening Maariv early, it means you're in Shabbos.
There was no Kabbalah Shabbos then, right?
Yeah, that's a later thing. I mean, that was individual. That was individual. That wasn't institutional. So the Gemara asks, Omi Badil? Wait a minute. But is that really the rule that you required? The Amar Rabbi Yavin Pamachas Yispal Rebbe Shall Shabbos Be'er Shabbos V'Nichnas L'Merchatz V'Yatza V'Shanel Empirikin V'Yadayin Lo Chashcha. Wait a minute. But one time, this is what the Gemara says. But there was one time, Rabbi Avin said that there was one time. It was a weird day. It was like Friday afternoon. It was all cloudy the whole afternoon. And Rebbe, you know, was Davin Maariv. It'll be Davin Maariv, and then. And then the sun came out. And then the clouds blew away, the sun came out, and it was like an hour to go. It was plenty of time. It was totally too early. So what did he do? And after he davened Maariv, he went to the Merchatz, and he came out, and he gave us a shiur, and it was still daylight. So Amar Rava, explained, oh, that's different. He must have not actually taken a shower in the Merchatz. So, hold on, listen, he's saying this. Well, no, that story doesn't prove anything. He was keeping Shabbos, and this was what you're allowed to do when you keep Shabbos. He says, Rebbe went to the bathhouse, but not to actually bathe in the hot water, but lahaziah, but there's to be in the steam room. The kodem gzeira hava, before it was outlawed. So he's imagining that doesn't show anything. You would not be allowed to do that after the gzeira of steaming, even though it's Tosefes, because it's still before Laila, but because you're Mekabel Shabbos, that includes these things. And so that doesn't prove anything, the fact that Rebbe did that. Wait a minute, we're not done. Wait a minute, but Abai told us, No, but Abai actually allowed Rav Dimi Bar Levi to lekavruye saleh. That was like to prepare food, and that was an outright malacha. So, Rashi doesn't define exactly the level of this particular offense, the ashein osan begafris, but assuming that that's an outright iser. So you can't duck out of it by saying that was allowed. That's allowed on Shabbos. It's not. So the Gemara says, well, that's totally different. Tahu ta'usa havoi. That case that you're talking about, that was when it was a mistake. That was they didn't realize that it was early, and they weren't trying to do Tosefes Shabbos. They only inadvertently were Mekabel Shabbos early. And that's why it doesn't count. The Gemara says, what is it? It's a toes? That means it doesn't count. You can back out of the Kabbalah Shabbos. But once upon a time, there was that situation on Shabbos afternoon. It was all cloudy all afternoon, so you never really knew exactly what time it was. They thought it was now dark. They all davened Motzei Shabbos Mariv. And then, and then the clouds blew away, and then they saw it was still Shabbos afternoon. Ubo v'shalulus Rebbe. So now they ask Rebbe, the Omar, and what did Rebbe tell them? Hovel v'ispalalu ispalalu. He told them, well, okay, you guys daven, so fine, good enough. Well, what's good enough? It's good enough. It means, all right, so done. So you daven your Mariv, and the fact that it was a mistake doesn't matter. And the fact that you said Avdallah and Yishmona Esrei, that works. So that even though you can't do Malacha right now, because you can't kick out Shabbos before Shabbos actually ends, but you can satisfy all your nighttime requirements. And if that's the case, you don't say the fact that it was a toast and you didn't intend it to be this way, that you have to do it again and it's not Chal. So presumably you carry that back to Friday afternoon also, and you'd say that Friday afternoon also, a Kabbalah Shabbos B'tos is still going to be Shabbos. And you don't say that since you didn't intend it to be that way, it doesn't count. So the Gemara says, no, that's different. Shani Tzibur, Dilo Matrichin and Lahu. If it's a Tzibur, we're going to say, okay, what you did, and we're not necessarily going to apply that rule for a Yachid. If it's a toast, you're going to say that it didn't count. It was a toast. And as far as how that pertains to Kabbalah Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos B'tos does not have an effect, but the Tefillah B'tos does have an effect. It requires a lot of work to tease out all of the individual threads of what's going on in this particular Gemara over here to say which things do exist B'tos, which things don't, and which things does Tzibur matter, and which things don't. We're going to stop here anyway, even though the next bit of Gemara works on the very important question of how to do early Shabbos. You do early Shabbos with Kiddush, with Seuda. What's included in early Shabbos? It's not really Laila, right? So you're following Rabbi Yehuda's Shita Beplaga Mincha for the start time. But it doesn't make it Laila. But maybe it does. Maybe for some purposes it does. That's going to be the next sugya coming up. All right, everybody. Chag Sameach.